But in the meantime, let's hear from that press conference involving solicitors and relatives of those who were killed in the July the 7th bombings.
July 2005. To my left is Ros Morley, whose husband Colin died at Edgware Road. And to her left is Ernest Adams, whose son James died at the King's Cross bomb. To my right are, to my immediate right is Jackie Putnam, who survived the blast at Edgware Road. Liz Kenworthy, who also survived and indeed was recognised for her bravery in helping others. Janine Mitchell, whose husband Paul survived, and Tim Coulson, who survived as well. Today's judgment is one that can probably best be described as one of hope, expectation, relief and disappointment. There is a hope in the decision of the coroner today that the families of those who died will at last now learn what actually happened to their loved ones. There is a hope that if the response of the emergency services did in any way fail those who needed treatment, that lessons will have been learned from those failings and that appropriate measures will be put in place in future to ensure it doesn't happen again. There is hope that finally the question, could 7 July have been prevented, might be answered. If it appears that the police and the security service did in some way fail, why did they fail? Could more have been done? Have lessons been learned? And will effective measures be put in place in the future? There is an expectation. The people around me and many others have been campaigning for many years for an investigation into the circumstances surrounding 7/7. They've been asking for many years basically two questions. Could it have been prevented? And could more have been done to help on the day? They've been asking for an independent judicial investigation. Successive Home Secretaries have refused that request for an inquiry. And during the course of the hearing only a couple of weeks ago, counsel for the Home Secretary continued to resist calls for any investigation. Oddly, the campaign throughout the last 3 years has had support from such people as the current Security Minister, who recognised that the ISC was not up to the role that it needs to play. It had support from the Prime Minister when he was in opposition, who asked in the Commons in 2007, given the need to enhance public confidence in the fight against terrorism and to answer those questions, will the Prime Minister clarify whether he's ruled out once and for all holding a proper independent inquiry? The campaign received support from the Deputy Prime Minister when in 2006 he said a public inquiry which can enhance public understanding of the nature of the new terrorist threat in Britain and assist in targeting intelligence resources in our own communities is still required. So the expectation is this. The expectation is that the current administration will provide every support to the Home Secretary and to the Security Service and to the police to ensure that every assistance is given to the coroner, every document that she requires is provided to her, and that she will be able fearlessly to conduct the investigation which she has announced today. We hope now that the Home Secretary will withdraw her opposition to a judicial investigation, and that at last the survivors, all of those affected by the London bombings, will be able to have the answers they want. There is relief that she has adjourned the inquests, or the decision into whether to resume the inquests of the bombers, so that these 52 inquests will now take place without the inquests of the other four being joined to them. And it's right to say, finally, that there is a degree of disappointment. That disappointment comes from the survivors. The survivors were forced into a campaign for an inquiry simply because successive Home Secretaries refused it. An awful lot of pain and grief could have been avoided if 3 years ago, when we first asked for it, the government had decided to hold a public inquiry. But there is now a relief that the inquest would be held. They wanted to play a more active part in it, but they have been told that they cannot do so. And you may remember at the conclusion of the preliminary hearings, Rachel North, who had been one of the many campaigners for an inquiry, asked for a statement to be read out, and I will read to you, if I may, one paragraph from it, because this sums up, I think, the views of each and every one of the survivors. She said this: "It appears to me that if you are a member of the public who is unfortunate enough to survive a terrorist atrocity, then no matter how much your pain, your physical and or mental injuries cause you, no matter how much your life is blighted, no matter how much your health, career, personal life, relationships, family, sense of self is affected, no matter whether you become suicidal, no matter how much your life is changed, reduced and damaged, you will have no right to ask questions about what happened to you and to expect answers to be given to you. You may be called as a witness for the benefit of others, but that is all. You may not see documents or ask questions. You may not expect a public inquiry. You should just be quiet and be grateful that you are alive." Gentlemen, ladies, that's all I want to say. I will take questions. More importantly, it's the views of those sitting alongside me that you want to hear, and they have agreed to take questions from you.
Alistair Bunk of Sky News. Perhaps we can pick up on the final point you made there, and I address this question to the survivors. You're not going to be able to have legal representation at the inquest. What do you feel that you would have brought to the inquest had that decision been your own?
We have questions that need answering. We were allowed to submit some questions to the Intelligence and Security Committee, but those questions were not answered. We want assurances about recommendations that will be made. We have our role now will be one of answering questions only, which we will do willingly, but our questions are not going to be answered unless they're asked by someone else who's one of the bereaved. We've been shunted aside by officialdom, and those questions may or may not be answered. And those questions need to be answered because it does involve the safety of everyone who travels on public transport or goes to any public place.
So do you feel the inquest will be less effective as a result?
I hope it won't be. I really hope it won't be. And it's very important that we'll remember that the inquests are for the families and the loved ones of those who died. But this is our only voice. We've been led to believe that this would be an opportunity for us to have a voice, and now we don't.
Dave Heal, BBC News. Can I also ask the survivors whether you think you would like to challenge that decision? The coroner in her summary says that she could challenge any decisions that she's taken by means of judicial review. And also what you feel about the decision to sit without a jury.
Could I give you a response to that, Tim Coulson? First of all, I'm not disappointed in total by that decision because, one, there is, as you rightly say, a door open for the next 14 days to do so. But also, additionally, she has reinforced in her decision today that there are opportunities for her to call as witnesses into that inquest, into the situation's specific survivors, so that the door has not been firmly shut by any means. And we value the opportunity to do so.
We'll leave that news conference there. We have a correspondence there. You just heard from Jane Peel asking a question.